Welcome to the Daily Decrypt, the go-to podcast for all things cybersecurity. Get ready to decrypt the complexities of cyber safety and stay informed. Today is January 30th, 2024, the most important day of your life. Here is your host, Offset Keys.
Good morning, everyone.
We have a Twitter now, so if you haven't yet, go follow us. I think it's just Daily Decrypt Pod at Twitter or X, and that's just gonna give you some news before you can find it on the podcast. So as news develops, that'll be updated. Today we're gonna be discussing three quick stories. First is gonna be an Outlook vulnerability that, if you listen to the episode this past weekend about LLMNR, it'll be familiar. You'll be able to understand exactly what's going on here. But this one was released last month, so pretty crazy. We're also going to be talking about a major breach at Raptor Technologies, which is a security provider for educational institutions like middle schools and high schools, something we're all familiar with. And then finally, the main developer of the TrickBot malware was sentenced to 5 years in jail. So we're just going to talk about that briefly. So moving forward with this podcast, I'm going to try to keep the simplest topics up front, the most understandable for the majority of the population. If you're not a cybersecurity professional, you should still be able to follow along. And then we're going to slowly move into more technical things. So I'm going to give it a shot today. I'm sure it might still be a little technical as I get used to the process. Once a month, Microsoft comes out with patches for vulnerabilities, encouraging updates. So in this past Patch Tuesday is what we call it, they disclosed a significant vulnerability involving Microsoft Outlook. The story was originally broken by researchers who unearthed a vulnerability in Outlook's calendar sharing function. The flaw posed a serious risk as it could potentially allow attackers to access NTLAN Manager or NTLM hashed passwords when a user opened a specifically crafted file. The vulnerability worked by exploiting two specific headers in Outlook's email system, the content class and the X sharing config URL, which is not specifically important. It's just a way that the attackers did some backend stuff to make sure that when you clicked the link that they sent you, they got your hash instead of just whatever malware they put behind the link. So this is specifically a phishing attack, but it's a little more aggressive because they're going to get your Microsoft Outlook password essentially, whereas most phishing links will just direct you to a server where they attempt to download some scripts or they, you know, whatever, try to get something downloaded on your computer. It's more of a Hail Mary, most phishing attempts. This one's pretty targeted specifically towards Outlook. So if they happen to send it to my Gmail, it wouldn't work per se. I'm sure that there's a way that it could do it. But anyways, that's the technical jargon for the stuff they do on the back end. The attackers essentially craft these headers to expose an NTLM hash during authentication. So that's just your password, pretty much. It's a hash that represents your password, but they can crack that hash. So the goal for these attackers is to deceive a user into clicking a link embedded in a phishing email or sent via instant messaging, leading them to open the malicious file. So this breach's nature and scale were concerning, especially considering that NTLM is an older protocol, but is still widely used. Microsoft has recognized the vulnerability of NTLM to such attacks and announced plans to phase it out in Windows 11 in favor of the more secure Kerberos protocol, which also has its faults. The decision was part of a broader effort to enhance security. So Microsoft has not typically been known for its secure products, and I think they're trying to start turning that around as more companies pivot towards Mac as their primary environment. So yeah, the moral of the story is just don't click links, especially in Outlook. Really verify that the link is coming from someone you know. They can be pretty deceptive, swapping out zeros for O's or L's for ones and stuff like that. So if anything feels fishy, don't quickly click any link. Never quickly click any link and you'll be safe. The other thing is that they're getting the NTLM hash. They're not actually getting your password. And so this hash still has to be cracked. And the only way to crack these hashes is by using a dictionary attack, whether it be targeted, whether it have parameters. And if you make your password uncrackable, aka 20 characters or longer, generated by a password manager, this won't really affect you. Okay, so if you're using the same password that you've used for your whole life, it's probably been leaked onto the dark web. They probably have it. They're going to run just different variants of that password to see if they can crack the hash. Then they have access to your account. Okay, so make sure you change your password. All right, so the next story is about a major breach at Raptor Technologies. And one of the reasons I started this podcast is because most of the news podcasts that I listen to, especially relating cyber news, was pretty much just a breach discussion podcast where I tuned in for 10 minutes and they list off the different breaches that have happened in the past 24 hours. And as we progress through this cyber landscape, there are going to be more and more breaches. And I was just sick of hearing about only breaches. You know, some of them affected me, some of them didn't. Doesn't matter. I want cyber news. So I vowed to not just be a breach delivery system. So I apologize for this one. This is just talking about a breach. But I think it's important to discuss this type of breach, especially regarding educational institutions, because they're very vulnerable. They're pinching pennies over there and they don't have the resources or funds or time to solidify their security presence. I know a lot of people in education. I actually have an education degree, so a lot of my college friends are in the education system, and those who are technically savvy are pretty concerned about their data and the data of their students. One of my friends I recently talked to told me that the institutions themselves are required to keep student records for 100 years. And knowing institutions like this, I don't think they're encrypting them at rest. They might not even, my guess is that they took these files and scanned them in and they're sitting images on the server. And the specific school district that they work for has a centralized server for the entire school district where all these files live. So they're just sitting ducks. They're waiting to be popped. And if they haven't already been popped, I'd be surprised. So this one is just something similar along those lines. Raptor Technologies is a US-based school safety software provider. The original research was conducted by Jeremiah Fowler, and it revealed a startling exposure of sensitive data. So he reported that an estimated 4 million records were involved, which were stored in a non-password protected database. The specifics of the breach are concerning. The exposed documents included detailed incident response plans, layouts of schools or classrooms, and information on infrastructure challenges like malfunctioning cameras and security gaps. Wow, so they, normally they'd be targeting student data, but this school had stored security response tactics and techniques, as well as, blueprints to the school, which could be used for physical violence, which we don't, we already have such a huge problem with that. It could be sold on the dark web for that kind of behavior. The infrastructure and malfunctioning systems like cameras and different security gaps was leaked. So this is just also going to be sold on the dark web. They got to patch. Now they have to patch all of these security gaps. They have to fix them all. They're all leaked. That is a huge task if any of you have worked on anything like that. But simply patching one vulnerability with their limited resources is extremely hard, let alone now they have to cover all their butts or at least set up some sort of monitoring for those vulnerabilities. So essentially, in layman's terms, there are different ways that you might know how to break into your own house, right? Like whether or not you have a dog door or whether or not you have one window that doesn't lock. The front door can be opened with a credit card. Like, you know these things. And you keep them secret. You don't want to be putting them on the internet, because if everyone in the world knew that you could open your front door with a credit card, somebody would probably come try it. Not everybody, not even the majority of people would try this, but somebody will. So that's essentially what's happening here. All of their little vulnerabilities have been leaked to everyone in the world. So someone's going to try it. So now you got to go figure out how to get a new front door, and you got to go figure out how to fix your window and close your dog door at night, or get some sort of motion sensor collar for your dog so that when he needs to go out, he can, that's a lot of work if you think about it. Okay. So that's a high level of essentially what happened. It was a third party provider too, which is pretty dangerous. Anytime you give the keys to your kingdom to a third party, you're now at risk of them getting breached, and whoever breached them has access to your keys. And finally, the developer behind TrickBot has been sentenced to 64 months in prison. This is pretty rare in the cybersecurity world just because of the anonymity of the job. People can be in different countries. People can be behind VPNs or proxies and really mask their identity pretty well. And this individual happened to be hiding out in South Korea, which does have an extradition treaty, which is great. So let me talk about TrickBot, which is a notorious banking Trojan. It has been a significant threat in the cyber landscape for a while. It's typically distributed through phishing emails or malicious websites and tricks users into downloading it by masquerading as legitimate software, which is something that Dogespan talked about yesterday. Once installed, it stealthily harvests sensitive information, especially banking details, and can even deliver ransomware, causing widespread financial and data loss. Some newer versions of TrickBot include advanced features for stealing credentials as well as evading defenses. The developer's sentencing is notable in the cybercrime sphere, where prosecutions are challenging due to the anonymous nature of the internet and jurisdictional complexities, right? So if someone's in a different country, you now have a federal jurisdiction that you have to work with a different country and blah, like maybe they didn't commit the crime in that country and now they're like the country has no interest in extraditing them. It's a big deal. So unless someone's doing something pretty serious, the federal government's probably not going to go through the trouble, but we're trying to encourage the federal government to go through that trouble, which in turn discourages cybercrime. So the international efforts were pivotal in extraditing the individual from South Korea to the US for prosecution. So we're moving in the right direction, world. Thanks for working together, South Korea and the United States. That's great. Hopefully more countries can do that in the future. All right, so that is it for today. I hope you like the new format. I want to find a nice balance between simplicity and, you know, I personally want to know a little bit more of the specifics. So if you feel generous, please leave some comments in the episode notes or below in Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get the podcast. Just letting us know if you liked it, what would be better. Please feel free to be brutally honest. You can even tweet at us now. I got the notifications on my phone. So thank you so much for listening. We're going to be doing some more of this and releasing a bonus episode, hopefully this weekend, starting a series about how to break into cybersecurity for people looking for a career change or people, you know, who are in IT who want to move more into specifics of cybersecurity. So we have some projects and some plans, and we're going to be discussing them in the bonus episodes. So stay tuned for that. And that is it. Thank you so much for listening.